Well, hey, everyone. We are here for our culture segment, and I get the chance to introduce you in audio to our friend Bob Dickey, although I like to say Bob Dickey the third, because he is a third, though really maybe that's not too necessary to our conversation today, but I thought I'd bring it up, Bob.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how I get introduced from time to time. I always find it to be quite funny. But
yeah,
it's great to be with you today, Lisa. Well, thanks for having me on your program.
Definitely. Welcome to the Boundless Show. For those of you, Bob has written for us in the past, actually. He is a financial expert. He's the president of Crown Ministries, as well as being a doing a lot of speaking. Obviously, he has he's written a ton. He's led several nonprofits, and including you did a stint in the Air Force as well. So,
I loved it.
Yeah, I say a stint like you were there 3 months. Okay, no, you actually actually served in the Air Force. Okay, but you actually have a book now called Love Your Work, 4 Practical Ways You Can Pivot to Your Best Career. And talking about career and really not only launching career, but maximizing that, finding calling is something we talk about a lot here at The Boundless Show, given that we talk to young adults. So we figured we would need to tap into your ear and your expertise and help apply some of these principles to us. So is that okay, Bob?
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Okay. Well, this will be fun. So first up, I want to know, because obviously you've done a number of things in your own career path, and you're currently a president of a large company that actually, you know, you have to talk about whether it's money or career or things related to that basically every day. But I want to know how you went from, you've had quite the path in getting there, including, isn't it true that you were on food stamps at one point? So how do you get from that point to being president of a company with many things in between?
Well, I would say that going all the way back to the beginning of my career, it is true. My wife and I started out, we were very poor. We were on food stamps when we were in college. We got married while we were in the middle of college, and I would say first and foremost, it's by God's grace. And as I look in the rearview mirror of my career right now, a lot of things that just didn't make sense throughout my life, these little zigs and zags, these turns, they didn't make sense at the moment or during the moment, but they make sense now. And I can see where God was using me in different positions. He was opening up doors of opportunity. He was putting me in different places. Sometimes I found myself in hardship, facing obstacles. Those were moments of refinement and moments of growth. And so one of the things that I tell folks in the book is I have a very non-linear career. And most people today, young millennials, young people who are starting, are going to have non-linear careers. They're going to have zigs and zags. They're going to have multiple career stops and changes. And, you know, God's going to use all of those little things to mold them and refine them for the jobs and the things that He has in store for them in the future. So, you know, one of the concepts that I use in the book, I mean, I highlight that as I travel around the world, whether I'm in the South Pacific on some beautiful islands or in Asia or, you know, standing on, you know, Mount Kilimanjaro, no matter where I go and I look at the majesty of God's creation, very rarely does God use straight lines in the natural world. It's always all these little jagged edges and turns, and I think that God's going to use those exact same things within our life. Very rarely does He use a straight line, but it's those little pivots, those little turns, those little unexpected moments where He will put us at a place for a while. Those are times of refinement, and so I would say that's, you know, I've experienced God through my entire journey, and I have had a non-linear career, as you say. I've gone from food stamps to the military to the private sector to a tech startup to now a Christian nonprofit, and it's been quite an enjoyable journey.
Yeah. Well, let's apply that to a career path specifically to kind of help our audience get their heads around this. You know, I think it's assumed by millennials, like you said, very few of them have linear paths by any means, but I think it's still taught that way, and it's assumed that, oh, okay, I'm going to choose to be an attorney, and then I'm just going to be awesome at it, and I'm just going to continue to escalate in my career and make more money and do XYZ and get more influence. But, you know, obviously that's not true. A lot of people are changing careers. A lot of people are trying things, finding out they're not a great fit. The economy's poor. A lot of millennials have tons of debt, and they're underemployed in the wake of that. So let's just talk a little bit about what did you actually learn? You alluded to some failures you had. What did you learn from failure, and how did that allow you to kind of make tweaks and changes that ultimately maybe helped you discover even new things about your talents and passions?
I'd say one thing that I learned in the journey is that we're all going to face failure. No matter who I talk to in my life, people that are ahead of me, people that I admire and respect, that I want to emulate, people who have had success in their career, whether it's in ministry or the for-profit sector, even in the military, those leaders, men and women, have faced all sorts of obstacles in their life, and it's through those obstacles, it's through those times of challenge, whether they've been in a very tough deployment in the military, whether they were in a very tough business environment, whether they've had, you know, financial crises that they've weathered, or a company that's gone on the brink of bankruptcy and they've had to rescue it, and those types of challenges, or either people who have lost their job, they've been fired. It's through those types of experiences where they've learned, they've grown, and I highlight that what I find is that it's through those obstacles. A lot of times it's in that moment of despair. It's in that moment when we feel like the world is just crashing around us that our greatest opportunities are born. And so one of the things that I highlight in the book is that failure is not permanent, it's not pervasive, and it's not personal. And I'm borrowing that from a commencement speech that was given a number of years ago, and it's a theme that I think is extremely important, because as I chat with people who are going through a crisis, whether they didn't get the job that they wanted, whether they got fired, or maybe their company's going bankrupt. I mean, we had a number of companies that went under during the Great Recession and people were without work. And in those moments of crisis, it's really easy to think that that the failure that we're experiencing, that hardship, that we take it very personal. Or we think that it's pervasive, that our entire life is a failure, or that it's permanent, that it's always going to be there. And those are three things we need to remember. Failure's not personal, it's not pervasive, and it's not permanent. And so when we start to craft the right narrative, and we understand we have a coach and a mentor that are helping us through those seasons, that's when we're going to be able to see the positive side of things. You know, another thing I like to highlight with people is, when we're going through those moments of crisis, or there's a particular failure, as soon as we learn something from it, it's no longer a failure. That becomes tuition that we've paid for a real life MBA or real life experience. And it's that tuition. We look at that, we value it, we use it, we leverage it, and that's where we're going to get our greatest opportunities as we come out on the other side.
Yeah. Well, one of the big themes of your book is this concept of pivoting. And I think it's, a lot of young adults feel like, oh, you know, am I really supposed to just be working a few years and then all of a sudden I'm pivoting already? But you actually describe what you say are four zones that we'll find ourselves in life where we probably will need to pivot. How do we recognize, and maybe you can just briefly kind of summarize the zones, how do we recognize when we're in one of those and what action we should take as a result?
Well, there's four zones, as you've said, and the zone that we want to be in, the place where it's the sweet spot in our career and in life, is where we have it's the zone of renewal, and this is where we have high passion for what we're doing, and there's high opportunity. So we love what we do, and there's also great growth, there's great opportunity, we're able to pay our bills and to meet our needs and family obligations. That's where we want to be. Now, the other three zones, it's the zone of revectoring, repurposing, or reinvention. But let me talk about reinvention, because a lot of people will find themselves here at least once within their career. Reinvention, this is the zone where we have low passion for what we do, and there's low opportunity. And right now, I mean, just recently there was a Wall Street Journal article that stated that over 80% of the American workforce, when surveyed, responded that they hated their job or hated their boss. This is a sign that a person has low passion for what they're doing. And I could just spend an entire day talking about just that particular aspect. But when we are in the zone of reinvention, where we have low passion, low opportunity, we need to completely reinvent ourselves. And so I highlight steps. First, we have to understand where we're at. Then we have to know where we want to go. And then we can start to craft that plan to get there. It requires us to have a coach, a mentor. A lot of times we can't see the various steps that we need to take, and having outside perspective and points of view is very helpful. You know, the Bible says there's a wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And for me personally, when I've pivoted in my career, whether going from the military to the private sector or private sector into nonprofit work, I've always used a multitude of counselors, first and foremost. My wife, she has been an amazing counselor. I think that our spouses are many times resources that we fail to leverage and to use fully as God intended. You know, I've also gone to prayer to be able to seek God's guidance. So I share with folks when I'm counseling with them, there's a big difference between asking God to lead you and following God's direction and charting your own path and then inviting him along on the journey. There's a huge difference. And I got that wrong early in my career. There were many times where I would be, oh, this is exactly what I want to do. And I would start to craft a plan, and then I would invite God along on the journey. God, will you bless me? God, will you bless my efforts? And that's not how God wants us to approach the way we live life or approach our career. I think that when we live life how God designed us, you know, we have a very unique identification for each one of us. God gave each one of us unique skills and passions and interests. And when we live in alignment with our Creator God and how He made us, that's where we're going to have ultimate success. So a lot of times when people find themselves in the zone where they need to slightly revector, or they need to repurpose, or they need to reinvent themselves, a lot of times they're there because they're not living in alignment with how God made them. And when we understand how God made us, and then we start to craft plans, that's when we can get into that zone of renewal, where we have high passion for what we're doing, we have great opportunity, and that's where we're really going to have impact in the world around us.
So turning the corner, Bob, a little bit here, you have a few thoughts on the whole concept of stewardship, which in light of career and money making and all that, I mean, I think it's easy for Christians to get caught up in the trap of what success is, or, you know, what do we deserve, or does God want us to be happy and all that kind of stuff. But you're saying there's actually a few different mindsets to keep in mind, stewardship being the right one. How do we know that we're tracking correctly on that, not falling off in the ditch of, I think you describe them as poverty or prosperity being the other extremes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two extremes that we want to be very careful of when we're navigating our career is number one would be the prosperity mindset. And this is where, you know, possessions are a right. You know, we're working so that we can have fame. We want to become rich. We want to become wealthy. We start to believe that if you're wealthy, somehow that's a sign of our godliness, that God's blessed us, and that, you know, if we're not wealthy, somehow we haven't done enough to deserve, you know, God's favor. And I mean, this is just a complete wrong view of Scripture and what the Bible teaches. And the opposite end of the prosperity mindset would be the poverty mindset. You know, there's folks out there that believe, oh, you know, any possession is evil. And, you know, we should just have just the very basics to meet our basic needs. And, you know, to be more godly, we want to be, you know, poor and humble. And, you know, any type of wealth would be very dangerous and, you know, and would be even wrong. What the Bible teaches, if we really take a look into Scripture and we see what the Bible teaches about stewardship, is that no matter whether we are wealthy or whether we're poor, that we are to be responsible for what God has entrusted with us. So whether we have a great career that's providing what the world would consider material possessions, or whether we have a great career where, you know, maybe it's not as rewarded in society, where we have maybe meager possessions, our role is to be responsible. We work not for our own personal benefit as a steward, but we work to serve Christ. And godly people are judged whether they are faithful. If we look back into one of my favorite passages in the Bible is Matthew 25, and if we as Christians really need to understand how God is going to judge us, how we are going to be given an account in the day of reckoning, if you read Matthew 25, those three parables. It's the parable, it talks about the lordship, stewardship, and generosity. So I would highly encourage listeners to go and review that passage of Scripture, because we're going to give an account. Have we made Christ the Lord of our life? Have we stewarded the resources and the blessings, the life that He has given us? And finally, have we been generous? Have we been generous to the orphan, to the widow, to the people in need? Those are three very important parables for us to understand. And so that's, you know, I talk about stewardship in that respect. And, you know, society a lot of times, you know, glamorizes certain professions based on the fame that it will give us, or the wealth, or those types of things. None of that matters in God's economy, in God's eyes. God wants to know, no matter what I give you, I've given you life. And are you going to be a faithful steward with what I've blessed you with? And what I think the Bible also teaches is that when we are faithful with the little things, God will bless us with greater things. And so that's the number one thing that I want people to be able to walk away with, no matter where we're at in our careers. Just be faithful, and then more opportunity will be given to you.
Okay, so as we, you know, kind of taking it down to the practical here, as we look at industries and trends in light of our own skills and passions, how do we weigh those appropriately so we know that we're not just setting ourselves up for failure? Like, for example, I mean, should the aspiring actors and the art history buffs just be like, forget it, I need to actually get a real job? Or is there a way, I mean, how do you recognize that kind of stuff and look at the industries to say, this is a viable option versus, no, I need to tweak my aspirations?
Oh, that is a great question. It's something that many people wrestle with on a daily basis. You know, so number one, one of the things that I'll counsel with people, and they come in with a myriad of interests and passions, and I want to do this, or I think God's calling me to do that. It's really, really important for first and foremost, before you craft any career plans, to truly understand yourself and how God made you, how He wired you, and what it is that you think God is calling you to do. You know, I really encourage people to take a career direct assessment to help them understand that, and to get a consultation and a coach to help them be able to set that metric out there. But once you have a real understanding, really, of what it is that God's called you to do and how He's gifted you, there's ways, no matter what that is, whether you're in music or whether you're in art, and you might be thinking, oh, goodness, well, there's not really much of a career opportunity here for me. Maybe I'm going to have to go do something else. I'd say, no, don't do that. If God called you into music, if that's your passion, or if God called you into full-time ministry, whatever it is, follow what God has called you to do. That's number one, where you're going to have ultimate success. But once we start crafting that plan, there's always ways in which we can put ourselves into currents that are fast-moving currents in the economy, areas of growth and opportunity. So it's one of the things that I try to open up in the book, is to help people understand, where are those new growth opportunities in the new economy that's being born? How can we take our skill sets and put ourselves in those sectors? So here's an example. So you have a young lady who is a really gifted writer, and she's a liberal arts major, and she's like, well, but Bob, there's really not a whole lot out there for me. You talk in your book that, you know, all these technology sectors and all these things with data science, that those are the big areas of growth. How can an English major, a liberal arts individual, you know, have success there? Guess what? Technology companies that are growing leaps and bounds, that will be growing for the next 10, 20 years, they're going to be huge titans within our economy in the future. They are looking for writers. They're looking for people in the graphic arts. They're looking for people with those liberal arts backgrounds to man very, very important roles within those companies. And so my advice with this young lady is like, look, instead of looking at an old economy business or industry that might be dying, it's dying on the vine, it's going the way of the dinosaur, be taking your skills, be leveraging those skills in these sectors of the economy that are booming, that are going to be huge opportunities for you and your family as you progress within your career. So those are the types of tactics that I try to unpack and give real practical steps and guidance within the book.
Awesome. Well, we've been talking here to Bob Dickey, and he is the author of Love Your Work, 4 Practical Ways You Can Pivot to Your Best Career. This book is actually our featured resource for the week. So for a gift of any amount, you can get a copy of this book for yourself or for someone that you know in your friend group who maybe is frustrated with where they are in their career or basically keeps griping at you about it and you're just tired of it. So this is going to give them an opportunity to get some constructive direction and maybe get some encouragement along the way as well. So just hop over to boundless.org and we'll make sure we get a copy of that into your hands. Bob, thank you so much for being part of this conversation.
Oh, it's always a joy to be a part of your show, and I'll always love being able to hopefully provide value to you and your audience. And I just wish everybody the best on their career journey.
Well, thank you so much, Bob.